We have been in series on shifting the culture. We'll talk about the blueprint of it. This morning, I want to address the thought from basically something that we probably say to God all the time. Lord, lend your ear. Lord, lend your ear. Can I be transparent with you this morning?
Amen.
One of the things that has literally carried me through my 37 years on planet Earth is prayer.
Amen.
Not any old, half-hearted prayer. But some downright ugly cry prayer.
Yes, sir.
Let me explain what I mean. Let me explain. Because I know some folk understood what I just said, but let me explain what I'm saying. I'm talking about that type of praying that only comes from the deep places of your soul. That communication with God that no matter how it comes out can only reflect what goes on within you.
Hallelujah.
Let me be a little more specific. When you feel like giving up, no matter what giving up looks like, and you feel like you're down to your last of everything. I'm not talking stuff, I'm talking about the last of you, the last of your thoughts, the last of your energy, the last, I'm talking tragic last, where one more thing will put you over the edge. And only way you can pray is saying stuff like, Lord, help. That kind of stuff. Prayer is a powerful element of the Christian witness. But I think that sometimes we don't recognize how powerful it is on our side of it. We recognize how powerful it is on God's side of it, i.e. when God responds. When God comes through. When God answers yes, no, or wait. But sometimes we don't realize how powerful prayer is from this side of glory. And it's because sometimes we have been told that there is some kind of formula to prayer. There's some kind of thing that gets God only. When the truth of the matter is, the thing that captures God's attention is your openness and honesty. Your ability to be able to be as open as you can with a divine deity. How do I know this? Because I have never seen God move when I gave God a canned prayer. I've never seen God move when we call on all of the patriarchs of old. I've seen God move when folk got on their knees.
Hallelujah.
acknowledged who God is, who God has been, and who God will always be, and recognize that God is the only one that will orchestrate the answers that we need. So it becomes easy for us to come to church and not place an emphasis on prayer. Because we'll wait for somebody to pray for us because we think they have more than what we possess. Don't miss what I'm saying. There are times when you need someone to intercede for you. But at the same time, we ought to be able at some point to pray for ourselves. Because what happens when your trusted intercessor needs intercession? What happens when the pastor needs more prayer than you? And what happens when your best friend that you always dump on needs somebody to lift some load to? Prayer is a very powerful thing, but it begins with us. It begins with us coming to a place where we are able individually. I am able to call on God and say, Lord, I have a petition that I know that only you can fix. The beauty of prayer is that it is not limited to the assembly. When you leave out of here, you go in your car, call on the Lord, and you don't need a crowd to validate what you're talking about. When you go home tonight, after everybody done got on your nerves, and you done got sick and tired of hearing your name called a million times, you are able to go into a private place,
yes, sir,
and call on the Lord and say some stuff like this. Lord, I'm sick of folk right now, but I need you to help me so I don't let them see how sick of them I really am. Prayer is powerful, but it begins with us. Prayer is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week enterprise. It allows us to express to God what we are really going through. Ain't that great? Somebody to talk to that ain't gonna judge you for what you're really feeling. Somebody who is always present to take it all in and really get down to the essence of what you're dealing with. Prayer is a powerful tool that helps us to be able to speak our heart even when other circumstances don't permit it. But I want to give you some context using this text. We know the scene where we are. We've been in it for a few weeks. We are at the opening of the temple, and Solomon is praying. The king of Israel is praying to God in public and sharing his heart. Nobody else is praying, not out loud at least. This is straight from the king. And he is letting it all pour out. Last week, we talked about the fact that he was able to open himself up so much that he was able to tell God, I need this thing to come out of my mouth. You promised,
yes, sir. Yes, sir,
that you would preserve David's line, my father, and would allow us to rule. And because of said promise, I'm looking to you to keep that promise.
Yes.
And to keep me so that I can be the fulfillment of that promise.
Yes. Yes.
But now he transitions into not talking about himself, mm-hmm, but now talking about all the folk. Mm-hmm. himself included. He talks about God's vastness, that God is bigger than this place that he has built. But will God indeed dwell with man on earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built? He acknowledges that God is so much God that there is truly nothing to contain God. Which means that the temple at best is not completely about God, but about the people. What do you mean? It means God is still much bigger than the location where we worship. Which means that the place where they were going to worship now was only a location that should be safe enough to exercise what they should exercise daily. Can I say this? We have to live life outside of here. 168 hours a week are dedicated to living life, and at least two of them are dwelling in this place on a Sunday morning. But I just know that you and I go through more than 2 hours worth of stuff. So there is no way that we can even begin to really deal with our stuff in 2 hours. And there's not enough time to pray to deal with the stuff we go through in just 2 hours. You are not going to get it all out in 2 hours. Even if we were like some of our brothers and sisters that still have lock-ins, where they pray all night, it still ain't enough. The space has been appointed as a safe space to at minimum be able to do what you and I ought to do every day. Because God is bigger than this place. Okay? Yet, have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his plea. Oh Lord, my God, listening to the cry and to the prayer that your servant prays before you, that your eyes may be open. Look at this, day and night. Yes. Yes. 24 hours a day. We serve a God that does not sleep nor slumber. Ain't that good news? That even if you get up in the middle of the night, you can't sleep at 2 a.m. You got somebody you can call on. Let me walk this thing out. I'm trying not to do much. Listen.
Praise Pastor.
That your eyes may be open day and night towards this house, the place where you have promised to set your name, that you may listen to the prayer that your servant offers towards this place, and listen to the pleas of your servant and your people Israel when they pray toward this place. And listen from heaven, your dwelling place. Wait.
Hallelujah.
Listen here and there. Yes. Vastness.
Yes, sir.
So when we show up to the place, yes, hear us. Yes. But also, when we ain't here, hear us still.
Yes.
And listen from heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive. Which means that all of our prayers are not always about stuff we need, but it's about stuff we need deliverance from.
Yes. Yes.
Hear me. Prayer is powerful when you deal with the whole of your existence. Yes, I need financial breakthrough. Yes, I need healing in my body. Yes, I need energy to go on. Yes, I need all these different things. But sometimes it gets right down to, Lord, forgive me. What are you talking about? Forgive me for how I acted towards my brother, towards my sister. Forgive me when I went off on them and they had nothing to do with it. Forgive me for not being able to deal with my issues on the inside because I didn't know how to deal with them properly. Forgive me for not walking this thing out.
Yes.
Lend your ear to me so you can hear me when I call. So how and why? No, why? Why do we pull on God's ear? Why? Why should you pull on God's ear? And I say pull because I'm thinking about my son. Because CJ has a tendency that when he needs his daddy, when he's tired, he... And like CJ, sometimes when we tired of stuff that we can't handle, we need to be able to pull on God's ear. Why? What compels us to do it, though? What should compel us to do it? Number one, it's our trust in knowing that God holds our feelings. There are some people in life you can't tell nothing to. Matter of fact, let me help some of y'all today. Stop telling everybody everything. Now, let me help you a little bit further. Some of y'all need to repent of being the ones that are leaky faucets. Let me take it one more step. Stop being a bucket with a huge hole in it, everything going in and everything going out. You and I know that there are folk you can't tell nothing to. They in our family. That's why they don't come to Thanksgiving. We call them friends, and the only reason we hang out with them is because they're the life of the party, but they can't help you with nothing. But I thank God that God can hold my stuff. Here's what Solomon's saying. Lord, when I call, I need you to hold what I seemingly can't hold. Because the weight gets to be too much. You need somebody in your life that is able to carry some stuff you just can't carry. And trust me, even the best people in our lives can't carry some of the stuff we're carrying. That's why you serve a God who can carry everything. When you mad as all get out, God can carry it. When you wonder when God's going to show up, God is enough God to handle that too. There's been many a day when I have looked God in the eye, figuratively speaking, and said, God, you said, when are you going to show up? Because right now, I don't know what is going to happen next. And God is so much God that God can handle that from you. Do you think that God is soft? That you can't open your mouth and express what is really in your heart? See, that's why churches right now are suffering with a lot of people that appear to be softer than cottonelle tissue. What do you mean? I mean real people with real feelings aren't soft. People that are pacifying themselves because they think that God can't handle it, those are soft people. But real people that love the Lord and real people that trust God are able to really talk to God about what in the world is going on. And when you get down to it, there are days when it's difficult. There are days when you don't want to be this super saint. There are days that you don't want to go in front of people and you want to look this way and that way. Guess what? God can handle it. And because God can handle it, you ought to be able to shout in advance before the thing changes. That's why sometimes it's not praying about God change my situation, but it's about God change me. Number two, I'm getting there. Number two.
Yes.
I'm compelled to pull on God's ear because I got access to him at all times.
Yes. Yes.
You know when people tell you when you're going through hard moments, and they show up and they say stuff like this. I'm sorry you're going through what you're going through. If there's anything that I can do for you, do not hesitate to ask. See, some folk need to get smart. At least say, if there's anything within my power. Because at least then you know your own limitations. But there are folk that are bold enough. If there's anything I can do, do not hesitate to ask. And what happens when you take them up on their offer? They too busy. They don't want to pick up the phone. They don't want to listen to your trouble. They don't want to listen to nothing you got to say. Deep in their heart, they haven't confessed it to you, but they sick of you. They were just being nice because it was a somber occasion. But I thank God that the Bible says that God neither sleeps nor slumbers. Because that lets me know that even when I'm asleep and struggling, God knows about it. That even when I'm wrestling with it, God is ready to hear about it. And even when I don't know my next move, God already knows the next move. And watch this, it's just waiting on me to just say, I need to know something. I got access to God at every moment of the day.
Hallelujah.
Let me prove my point.
Hallelujah.
Those of you that work like I do,
amen,
you need to call on God sometime.
Amen.
Let me give you some insight. I got this sign that's on my desk at work. It's a sign that I bought at Five Below. You can get some great stuff at Five Below.
Amen.
It's a sign that says something pretty ignorant. Yes, I said ignorant. Because I decided, you know, every once in a while you just need to have something so ignorant in front of you so people understand that you mean what you say and you ain't gotta put up with a whole lot of stuff. And I just had to pull it up because I took a picture of the sign. And people have seen the sign and they understand how I conduct myself in life when it comes to work. And the sign says this: caution, I do not have time for stupid people. Sits on my desk. And people walk by my desk every day and they see that thing is in plain sight. What are you going to say? You going to get offended by what's on my desk? It is a warning to let you know. Do not come around me with a bunch of foolishness. And so, and I got that sign on my desk, but you know what? I thank God that I haven't really had to put it anywhere else so it could be more prominent, because my prayer life done got a little bit better. Rather than pick up the sign, I'd have turned to the other side of my desk at times, and I'll just drop my head and pray. Because sometimes some folk will just push you to a place where you're like, you're the most unprofessional person I have ever met. And I don't know why you even have a job and you are working around me. No, I'm saying the stuff that some of y'all want to say, but you know, let me be your Bernie Mac today. Hear what I'm saying. Some of y'all work in spots where you are around people and you can't understand how they are gainfully employed for all the stuff that they do and do not do on a daily basis. And you struggle every morning to get up out of bed, deal with a bunch of stuff at home, try to get to work on time, run in the traffic, gotta deal with folks that are driving in the left lane that should be in the middle lane because they're obstructing your attempt to get to work on time. And on top of that, you gotta deal with incompetent people that happen to make more money than you when you are more qualified. Somebody in here knows that you need to what? Have a prayer life. You ought to be able to call on God every moment of the day.
Amen. Amen.
That's why I'm grateful for a God that is not limited to the church house. And that God is so big and so concerned about me.
Yes, sir.
That'll meet me.
Yes, sir.
The point of my need at all times. Last thing, I'm finished. What compels me to pull on God's ear? I'm compelled to pull on God's ear because I know grace is extended in the time of trouble. Listen to this last part of this verse, of this select text, and listen to the pleas of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. And listen from heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive. And when you hear, forgive. And when you hear me, when I'm dealing with all my stuff, and when I call on you, God, when I don't know what else to do, forgive. Forgiveness is an extension of grace. Because if you consider all the things that you have done, only a forgiving God could allow us to be here right now. I don't want to dig into your past. You ain't got to tell me nothing. As a matter of fact, when it comes to some stuff, you can keep it all the way to yourself. I ain't mad at you if you never tell me nothing. You can. I don't want to know nothing about what you used to be. It might change my opinion. I'm human. Let you flow in the grace of God. That's all right. Lighten up, church. Lighten up. When you hear, Lord, forgive. There are things that we stand in the need of God's forgiveness. And you may think that it has to be something huge. It's not always something huge. It could be something simple. It could be being neglectful of a thing. When I didn't cover my family like I should have, forgive me, Lord. When I made the call more important than my first witness, forgive me. When I allow people to threaten my livelihood and I didn't stand on your promise, forgive me. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm actually opening up the floor for you to think about your own stuff.
Yes, sir.
Don't mind me. I'm just talking about me.
Yes, sir.
When I allow the opinions of others to dictate my steps, forgive me. When I allowed everybody and everything to try to influence how my life was supposed to go, rather than trust in where you wanted to take me, forgive me. When I didn't think for myself, and you had already told me that the plans you had for me, but I began to listen to everybody else's opinion. Forgive me. That's hard to do sometimes. But when you come to yourself and you know that it's you and God, here's the beauty of prayer ultimately. All that stuff I just said, I could care less if you heard it, because I needed God to hear it. Because at the end of the day, the only one that can change me. I wasn't trying to shout, but I'll shout now. The only one that can change me is the one that created me. The only one that can shift the culture and give me what I need to be a shifter in the culture is the one that created all things. And if I can't tell God, if I can only shout about the good that God does and not talk about the things that I need God to change, then I have an incomplete walk with God. Sometimes you need to stop shouting off all the good stuff and thank God that he hears about all the mess that he can change. Because if you get in a position where you can be before God and say, Lord, change me, then you begin to see some things in your life shift in the right direction. I know. It's troublesome that you might have to actually let go of being who you thought you were. I get it. You are troubled because you got to actually release things that you used to have control over. I get it. You actually have to confront yourself and not anybody else and look at yourself and say, you know what? I'm incomplete because I haven't gone all the way with God like I wanted to. But you ought to thank God now that he is in a position that he will hear you and he will answer your prayer. The Bible says that when Paul struggled with a thorn in his flesh, and he came three times to God and said, take it. He knew his limitations, and rather than confront, he said, I can't do nothing with it. I can't. God, take it. Whatever you got to do, take it. Then God stepped in and said, you know what? I'm glad you told me that you can't handle it. I'm even glad that you were honest enough to say you couldn't handle it. But let me tell you where you end and where I begin. Because even though you can't handle it, I'm about to let you know that my grace is sufficient. That when you're weak, my strength shows up and overtakes your weakness. And I want you to know that even though you don't think that God is hearing you, and you don't think that God is moving fast enough, and you don't think that things are shifting quick enough, because you pulled on his ear, he's trying to let you know that my grace is going to overtake you. And watch how I'm going to move, because when I move, I will perfect and make the thing work out for you. Somebody ought to shout about it, because God is still in the business.